4 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Busy show today. Looking forward to it. We're going to talk to UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, Patrick Surtain, the first-time Pro Bowler for the Broncos, and the sixth cornerback the Broncos have ever had in the Pro Bowl. And in my mind, number two, maybe the second-best cornerback in the league. He's got an event we're going to talk about, but maybe we'll get his thoughts on who the next head coach is going to be. Mike Brohard will join me to talk about a big CSU-UNLV game tonight. And now, of course, we have in studio Tanner Schwint of Good Morning NoCo. And he and I have been at each other's throats today. So I said, save it for the ring, man. Save it for the field, the arena, as we say. You're in love with Sean Payton.
I am in love this idea. With the idea of getting Sean Payton to be the Denver Broncos' next head coach, yes.
No matter what it takes.
No, I have never said that. If the demand is going to be two first-round picks, that is too much to pay for a head coach. But as Ian Rappaport just reported on the Pat McAfee show, which Pat McAfee does a great job, by the way, but with Rappaport on there, he said the Saints aren't getting two first-rounders. He's thinking it might be one first-rounder that could be in the mid to late range. Which, do you know of a team that's got a late first rounder this year?
Like one of the latest.
But
we've been saying, you just said this in my office earlier. You said all these insiders don't have a clue. So Ian Rappaport saying, I mean, because we first heard the Saints were going to want a first rounder, third rounder, and a fourth rounder. Something around there. Then we heard, oh, it's going to be two first rounders. Now we're hearing, no, it's not going to be.
What would be causing the change in what they're asking for Sean Payton?
Don't know. Because that doesn't seem
demand.
Like the
negotiations.
It doesn't seem like the demand is that is high up for
right.
Sean Payton.
That's because the Denver Broncos have been doing this behind the scenes while still keeping this appearance that they're okay if the Saints don't waver on what they're asking
they
for.
They didn't. Sean Payton's their third choice, and you're going to feel good about that. That's the third choice, and they're going to trade
for choice. I don't believe that. I believe that once they had that first interview, that they kind of settled, okay, that's our guy. I think.
Then where did the rumor come from that he thought there was a power struggle, and then he came out and said, oh, it didn't happen?
I think that's why he came out and said, made sure that the record was clear that it didn't happen. I don't know where that rumor came from, but we've seen journalists get this wrong before. A lot of what happens in the NFL, I believe a lot of it's public perception, a lot of it's narratives, and a lot of it is just journalists getting a hunch and saying, well, this would make sense. Let's go this route with it.
We do know for sure that Jim Harbaugh turned the job down.
Yes.
And then Greg Penner still flew out to Michigan to meet with Jim Harbaugh again. So that tells me he was their number one choice.
So I think they were 1A and 1B. I do. I don't think it was. I mean, obviously there was huge interest in Harbaugh. But when you look at the way that Sean Payton is still lingering out there, and you know, he was talking on Fox about this too. Brady was talking about how adamant he was that there was still stuff. Do you have that clip still, Angel? I don't mean to come in here and play clips on your program, but here's Sean Payton talking on Fox on Sunday.
No, it's been a busy week, a great week. We've had a chance to visit with a lot of great owners, a lot of outstanding organizations. They're obviously looking for a reboot. I think with the way the coaching hiring process has changed this year, we're seeing it play out a little longer for these clubs. And I think there's more pressure on everyone who's covering it. And I think it's a good thing because they're allowing teams to get to the right candidates. I think,
Coach, real quick, can I interrupt?
I think in the next week we're going to know a lot more.
Coach, won't have in the next week, but the doors are not closed yet.
No. I think there's a handful of things that still are taking place for these coaches and myself.
Okay.
Well,
He's still adamant, right? I mean, he's still adamant that there's opportunities out there. And if it had closed, if the window really had closed, he would have announced right then that I'm coming back to Fox. But let me ask you this, Brady Hole. If you're the Saints, would you rather have the 29th pick in the NFL draft or no picks in the first round? Because they don't have a first pick either. So you got to make that move. If there's a guy on the board and you want to better your team and bolster your team.
Or Arizona's pick.
And you believe Dennis Allen is going to be the head coach for the Saints long term, you go and get this first round pick.
Or Arizona's pick. Because Arizona's got three, which I don't think they're giving up three.
No.
For that. But could Arizona trade back with somebody else and acquire, maybe two first round picks for that number three spot? And then trade one of those first-round picks That could happen. That
Arizona
could potentially
has
happen.
A first, second, and two-thirds.
So could Arizona take number three because they have their quarterback, for better or worse, and they could move that back into the 20s, but getting maybe another first-rounder out of that deal? Because I think that there are teams in this league that would trade two first-round picks this year and a future to move up to number three.
In my mind, it doesn't matter what Arizona wants. I think watching how this is all played out and watching it and seeing all the reports and formulating my own opinion on this, for me right now, I think Sean Payton is in this mode where it's Denver or I'll wait one more year. So I think the Broncos will be the only bidder when it comes to this, which helps their negotiation tactics. But when you're talking about Harbaugh again, I think the Broncos do have to have a backup plan, and I think that was them maybe saying, maybe New Orleans isn't going to waver on this. We got to see if our 1B guy is still there.
I think he was B. I think D'Amico Ryans was two. Was A, two. I think it was Jim Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, and then it was Sean Payton.
I see, and I disagree with that.
But Sean Payton told him yesterday, hey, I'm declining the job, essentially. So why would they even have that conversation if
D'Amico Ryans is declining? Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's going to take the Houston
right
job. But he did let the Broncos know, I'm out of contention. So clearly, he was their, in my mind, he was clearly their number one guy outside of Harbaugh. So now you're going to settle for number three, and you're trading away a first, maybe two, whatever, for Sean Payton. And to me, this is a move that could cripple this franchise even further.
See, and I don't think it will, because here's the thing. You cannot, and I mean you cannot, go back to a first-year head coach. You can't do it again. It has failed.
And I'm not as adamant about that now.
You've seen the successes around the league. I get that. But the Broncos have not had that success.
But don't you think
And they
that...
bring in Hackett, and then he brings in all of his buddies to coach as the coordinators. You have to find somebody who is a respectable head coach.
But the problem with this idea that, okay, you're saying, and I get it, all these first-year coaches have failed, and I was there with you. But I also think, and Dixon's going to love this, I do think that the management for the Broncos post-Super Bowl was just so bad that we're even hearing it's worse than it was.
Yeah.
John Elway wanted Mike Shanahan. John Elway wanted Kyle Shanahan, but Joe Ellis didn't want those guys. John Elway should have drafted Josh Allen. He shouldn't have drafted Bradley Chubb. And all of those moves put these new coaches in a tough spot. Vance Joseph will tell you that he was basically told, this is what you're doing. This is who you're playing. Vic Fangio, probably something along those same lines. I told you guys last year, the Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock thing was a joke. Was an absolute joke. That I think Vic Fangio didn't know how to handle that. But going and getting Teddy Bridgewater to compete with a young guy was ridiculous. The moves that of the last 3 years were so bad by John Elway and Joe Ellis that it crippled all these ideas of these young and up-and-coming coaches that maybe under different circumstances, they would have been better.
Now, Vic Fangio will take that compliment of young and up and coming. I think he'll really enjoy that one. But no, I get what you're saying. But here's the thing. Right now, if you're a Broncos fan, you believe one of two things. You believe that this ownership group has a plan in place, that they're waiting to watch it play out, and they're waiting for the Saints to blink on how much they want for Sean Payton. Or, number two, which is the most depressing thing that I could even think of as a Broncos fan, and as somebody who lives in the state of Colorado and hosts a talk show, you believe that this ownership group is incompetent. And if you believe this ownership group is incompetent, boy, are we in for the long haul. You might as well change teams.
No.
Because they are not going to sell this team anytime soon.
Incompetent is harsh.
That's what... But
they are rookies. They are rookies. And I know you said today that Walmart and the NFL are the same thing. That running an NFL team is the same as running Walmart.
I said the business side of the NFL.
No, the business side of the NFL is way different.
The business side and the business process of the NFL is going to be the same as whatever other business you're in.
You own an NFL team, you need to know football.
You're trying to hire qualified people who know football and can pick up where you're weak.
Well, he has a qualified football guy as the general manager, but he basically just told them, you're going to give tours to the next head coach.
Is he a qualified football guy after the move that he just made with Russell Wilson? This, again, all
that Greg Penner approved of?
Come back to number three. It all comes back to number three. And right now, here's why Denver needs to go get the Sean Payton thing done. Sean Payton believes that he can fix Russell Wilson. Apparently, these other coaches must not believe they can fix Russell Wilson, because outside of number three and portions of the offensive line, this team looked pretty solid last year.
So Sean Payton's going to fix him like he did Jameis Winston?
Yeah. How was it, a year with Jameis?
Yeah.
1 year. I think you...
It might be all you have with Russ. You could get out of this after the second year.
I think if Sean Payton had more time with Jameis Winston, yeah, I think...
Why didn't he have more time with Jameis Winston?
Because he retired.
Because he quit on him.
He retired.
He quit because the salary cap issue was so bad, the Saints weren't going to recover for a while, and he left. He did the opposite of what Sean McVay did. The place was in shambles because of everything that they gave up over the last few years, and their salary cap issue was horrendous. Sean Payton said, I'm good.
You think it's quitting, or you think it's knowing, okay, maybe I'm not the guy to get us out of this? Maybe there are people more qualified.
That's who you want as your head coach?
In that situation.
I'm not qualified for the Saints job, but I'm qualified to get the Broncos dumpster fire cleared up.
There is something to be said about new life into a building, new life into an organization. Maybe it was just that time for New Orleans. Maybe it was just time for that new life. I think Sean Payton brings the credibility and the respect that was desperately lacking from Mr. Nathaniel Hackett, who I don't think anybody on the Broncos respected him. Maybe they liked him, sure, but that is not going to play well. There's only one person in the NFL who I think is liked and respected, and that's Andy Reid. But most head coaches, maybe they're not well liked, but they are damn sure respected. And right now, the Broncos haven't had a respected head coach in a long time.
Because you continue to screw this process up. You continue to screw the draft up. You continue to screw free agency up. You continue to bring in the wrong quarterback. So, listen, Vance Joseph, Nathaniel Hackett, Vic Fangio aren't going to win any coaching awards. But in their defense, which is hard for me to do, you didn't give them anything realistic. You tried with Russell Wilson, but you almost did the opposite because you put all this unrealistic pressure on your rookie head coach. But with Vance Joseph, you gave him Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
And Brock Osweiler, who I liked, but you didn't even really give him the full shot. Screwed that up, too. This organization continues to screw it up. And so when I look at here we got a text from Beginner's Luck. Broncos are looking like fools at the moment. Nobody wants to deal with us. I'm at the point now where I think that giving Rosberg the gig is our best bet. Knows our team, puts people, Russ, in their place, and holds guys accountable. He's the guy for me. He beat a playoff team and lost to the AFC champs by one score with a muffed punt.
No, and listen.
Again, this is where Greg Penner failed. Because if Rosberg was ever going to be in real consideration, you should have fired. If you knew you were going to fire Hackett at the end of the season, why wait? Fire him after the Baltimore game.
I love Rosberg. I personally probably wouldn't be that mad if he became the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. That's a failure if he is. Because you don't know anything about, other than these two games with Jerry Rosberg, you don't know how he's going to handle a full season, the grind, the adjustments. He's got this new system coming out.
That's why you fired him after the Baltimore game.
You should have. I completely agree with that. But here's, when you talk about the Broncos ownership and if they've muffed this hiring process, this is not popular to say, and I wholeheartedly mean this, that I don't think they have screwed it up. I don't think that they've messed it up. I think that they are unturning every single stone, and if there's head coaches out there that won't sit and wait, then okay, go get your job. We're going to find the right guy for the right place, and I think that's what they're waiting on. And I, in fact, Brady, think that they found it in Sean Payton, and now it's a staring contest between the Broncos and the Saints. Who's going to blink first? And it looks like the Broncos tried to blink. It looks like they tried to blink and go hire Harbaugh. But it didn't work out.
So you're saying that Harbaugh was their second choice?
I think it was 1A and 1B.
They didn't blink. It wasn't a blink. They wanted Harbaugh.
I think it was a blink. I think it was 1A and 1B on this.
Why would you get turned down and then go back to Michigan to try to convince him to stay if he's your second choice?
I think that was the Broncos blinking and saying, okay,
maybe the Saints look more desperate.
Right. Yeah. And I think it failed. I think that portion of it failed.
That's why the Saints probably went up and said, you know what? Two first rounders because they ain't got nothing.
Right.
Nobody wants to be there. D'Amico Ryans would rather go to Houston, which his family is there.
Yes.
But he sued him, right? You talked about that.
But the ties there are, I mean, that's a lot deeper.
And you got two first round picks.
Yeah.
You got two first round picks this year. And that's why I said Houston was more appealing than Denver, because you got two first round picks.
It depends on what your long term plan is. Not for Sean Payton. Houston is not more appealing than Denver.
Well, because you wouldn't have the first round picks.
Well, Denver, but Denver is a lot closer to
Bryce Young or Russell Wilson today. I mean, Bryce Young all day today, tomorrow, twice on Thursday.
Who's closer to contending, though, Houston or Denver?
What?
Who's closer to contending?
If Houston has Bryce Young and then whoever that 12th pick's going to be, then you might go, Houston might get back on track next year. I don't know.
But just talking about Sean Payton, right? Let's just talk about him. Who's more appealing? Because you know either Denver's going to have to give up a 29th, you know, number 29, or Houston's going to have to give up one of those, not number two like we talked about. But would you rather go into Houston with, really, there was no glimmer of hope for them? Or would you rather come to Denver and say, okay, you know, I had a top 10 defense in the league. I've got guys healthy coming back in Javonte Williams and Tim Patrick and Garrett Bowles, you know, if they resign him. But I've got a glimmer. I still think after the dumpster fire that last season was for the Denver Broncos, there's glimmers of hope in there. A lot of it contingent on number three.
If it all hinges on Russell Wilson, then why would you spend assets that you can help surround him and make him better on this head coach idea?
Because if it all depends on number three, you believe you've got guys in those spots right now. I mean, what is Denver's glaring need right now?
Offensive
you would take at 29. You would take an offensive lineman at 29, right?
Yes, a right tackle.
What is the free agent market looking like for offensive
linemen? I haven't even looked at
because
right tackles yet.
They're going to be at like $41.5 million worth of play right in there. No, $43.5 million, excuse me, because the salary cap went up $34.5 million. They had $9.5 million to work with, so $44 million this year. I think you can go get a pretty solid couple of offensive linemen with $44 million because, like it or not, you've inked contracts with your key position players. You've got your running back. Now he's young and Javonte Williams. You've got your quarterback. You've got a plethora of receivers, and that defense is relatively solid. You're locked in there. So go use that money on offensive line and grow that way. And then you hope and you believe that Sean Payton turns number three around.
Again, it's just the idea that in 2 years you spent two first-round picks on Russell Wilson and then maybe and then a bunch of other picks for a head coach. It just seems like this is another terrible future move that's gonna cripple this organization. And that's what the Broncos have been doing since they won the Super Bowl. They have been trying to throw money at the situation. They have been trying to get names in here, Joe Flacco. And at some point, you got to go, are the names that big? Is Sean, because the Broncos weren't going for names the last 3 years, but they were going for an offensive guru, a defensive guru. They need a CEO, which I love what Zach Stevens said. That's what they need, is a guy that's more of a CEO guy. And you're telling me, okay, I don't want a CEO in Sean Payton. Because when he was CEO for the Saints, he got suspended for a year for Bounty Gate, and he lied about it. And then he bailed on the team when their free agent, when their cap situation was bad. You tell me that's a good CEO? If you're saying that NFL and Walmart are good, or the same, then Walmart would not hire somebody that cheated to get ahead at their Walmart and then lied about it and then quit on the Walmart.
If there's no,
if you're saying they're the same.
Because what else happened during that period that you just talked about? They won over 9 games every single year. They were in the playoffs. They were contending for Super Bowls.
Drew Brees.
Hell, they won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees is an awesome
Hall of Famer.
But the way that Sean Payton put that offense around him had a big thing. And that's, again, you're going back to, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Who's more important, the coach or the quarterback? And that's where it comes
in. The quarterback.
Sean, I mean, to take you to the next level, like dynasty level, yes, quarterback. To get you as a contender, coach.
To a quarterback.
Coach. Put any other coach in where Bill Belichick is right now, and that team is 4-12.
Bill Belichick has done what since Tom Brady left?
He's kept that organization at least somewhat relevant. They're
Did
in
they
the conversation.
Play, were they in the playoffs?
They were in the conversation for. They needed one.
What conversation were they in?
They needed to win, and they were in.
Well, that they didn't.
Yeah.
So what conversation were they in?
In the playoff hunt. There's not another coach on this planet you put in New England with how disorganized and the players that they've used throughout the course of this year. There's not another coach on this planet that gets them there.
Quarterback.
So the coach, I think you can't diminish what a good head coach does. You just can't. Because you look at what Andy Reid did. I mean, Alex Smith was nothing to the level of a Pro Bowl quarterback or anything like that until he got paired up with Andy Reid. And Andy Reid did that for Alex Smith.
Jim Harbaugh did pretty good with Alex Smith, too.
And
Colin Kaepernick.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad at Jim Harbaugh. That's off the table. So you got to go for 1B.
You're telling me today in the NFL, these guys that make what $50 million a year, that the coaches are more important than the quarterbacks?
No.
So if I could say, hey, you're starting an organization today, do you want Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes? You got to pick. Give me Patrick Mahomes twice today and three times on Thursday.
What about on Saturday?
Nope.
No, you don't want him on Saturday. No, I'm not saying that, Brady, but there's not those generational quarterbacks that just come out there. So the odds
of
you...
Drew Brees was one of those guys.
No, Drew Brees was not a generational quarterback, and I love Drew Brees.
Hall of Famer.
I know. No doubt. No doubt. But I don't think generational...
You don't think Drew Brees is a generational quarterback?
No. No, I don't. I don't. But you're not... It's incredibly difficult to get a generational quarterback or somebody of the caliber of Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, right? So more likely than not, you're going to win a Super Bowl with a above-average quarterback.
Yeah.
What takes an above-average quarterback and makes him a lead? A good head coach.
I disagree with you that we're not seeing... Look, I could name... You just named five generational quarterbacks. I can name 10 of them in the NFL right now.
10 in the NFL?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Agreed.
I think we could all say Joe Burrow has arrived.
Yes.
He is a generational quarterback. Yes. Josh Allen is a generational quarterback.
Yeah.
I'll give you Jalen Hurts now. He is a generational quarterback.
I think Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts probably more so than Josh Allen.
Well, then there you go. Is that five?
Yeah, that's four.
I got Herbie Hancock. Herbert is a generational quarterback. Yes.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
He's not. He's Eli Manning.
No,
yes, he is.
He's not Eli Manning.
He's Eli Manning.
No, you're out of your mind. I'm sorry, and I know you disagree, but Lamar Jackson is a generational quarterback. Nobody does what he does.
He's not going to play anymore.
Nobody does what he does.
He's not going to play.
He's a generational quarterback, though, when he's healthy.
False.
Yes, he is. Tom Brady is a generational quarterback. He is. He's the GOAT.
I know, but we're talking looking forward, right?
Tyler Huntley is a generational quarterback. He's a Pro Bowler.
Kick you under the table.
26 minutes after the hour.
The
stick
most
around.
Electrifying man in all
Lamar
of
Jackson, and now Lamar's so good that his backup's in the Pro Bowl.
So
26 minutes after the hour. Tanner, sticking around for just a second because we're not done yet. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, we don't need to use the term generational.
Okay, right.
So we use Hall of Fame.
Super Bowl caliber.
Yes.
Okay.
Are they tier one?
Yeah, tier one, top tier.
And I can give you seven.
No, you can't.
I can give you seven tier one quarterbacks.
Well, you said 10 earlier.
I can give you 10 tier one quarterbacks. I got to read some texts here, too. But tier one is Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
Joshua Allen.
Correct.
Joey Burrow. Tier one.
Yes.
Is Trevor Lawrence tier one?
No, not yet. He's knocking on the door.
He did more than your Belichick's Patriots.
He's not. Well, I'm not. That is a.
Lamar Jackson is tier one.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Sir, no.
He's tier one.
He's not.
We have
agreed on three.
Deshaun Watson is tier one.
At doing bad things.
To play quarterback, he's tier one.
Right. Was Cleveland horrible when he came back? You think it's the team around him? Or is it because they don't have a good head coach?
He's tier one.
No, he's not. You're at three.
I'm at six.
You are at three.
Jalen Hurts is tier one.
Yes. You are at four now, sir.
Kirk Cousins is tier one.
No.
Kirk Cousins is not tier one?
Dude. We're talking Super Bowl caliber.
Tom Brady is tier one.
I have to give that to him. I don't want to, but yeah, I guess so. If you say Dak Prescott, I'm going to kick you in the gonads.
Is Dak Prescott not tier one?
No, he's not. You're at five.
No, I'm not.
Yes.
Like eight.
You're at five.
Well, because you've disagreed with me.
Right.
The point is you're saying you're not going to come across these
You're not
tier one quarterbacks often.
You're not. It's easier. Now, you made a point off air that you said it's easier to find Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks now than ever.
I believe. So. I
agree with you.
I believe it used to be like Peyton Manning,
and
Tom Brady, and that was kind of in Rodgers, and that was kind of there's like four guys.
Yeah.
Now I feel like and you must disagree. I feel like there are eight guys. I feel like we've doubled that now. It's just like the NBA. We're seeing more teams with one or two super mega stars. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just we have better technology making players better as far as their workouts, film study, they're learning more, whatever. I don't know what the answer is, but I feel like in this day and age, in 2023, we have more great quarterbacks, potential Hall of Famers, than we had 20 years ago.
100% agree with you on that, which is not something I expected to say on air today, but I do completely agree with you on that. But we're still talking like you. Okay, we'll cut the difference. You were at eight. I was at five. We'll go six and a half.
Let's go seven.
We'll go 6.5. Great quarterback.
Okay,
that still means that that still means that there's 24. You could take all eight of yours. There's still 24 teams out there that don't have anything close to that.
I'm just saying that, and I agree with Dixon here. Dixon says Peyton is not a guarantee to fix things. It's going to cost you picks and a ton of money, which I know we don't care about. We don't care about the money.
No.
The money doesn't matter, and I agree. It doesn't matter. But you have a lot of holes to fix on this roster right now. And I just think you hired George Peyton, and I know Greg Penner didn't, but he's still there. So you still believe that the hire is okay. You hired him because of his drafting ability. And you've taken his ammunition away for a year ago, and you're talking about taking more ammunition away again.
He's got to find him in the later rounds. There are guys each year that you and I could sit and watch an hour of film of him and go, yeah, he's a first rounder. I mean, that's a guarantee.
No.
In the first round, there is 100%.
No.
But there are guys that you got to be able to find in the later rounds. And if George Peyton is this generational GM of being able to draft people, do it in the later rounds.
I don't think he's generational.
I think he is.
I mean, he can't even hire the coach. He's not generational. They don't trust him to hire.
He's tier two. Tier three.
He's like a tier four manager right now.
Right. So then get rid of him and don't draft. Bring in Sean Payton.
Your boy.
Bring in
Sean
Payton.
You think this ownership group is so stable, basically said, hey, George Peyton, we're clipping your wings, but we're going to keep you here. But wait, unless we hire Sean Payton.
Right. So great, you just kept George Peyton and used him through the interview process, who a guy who does know ball. Like, let's not take anything away from George Peyton. He does know football. You used him during a hiring process, and then at the end, if you say, you know what, Sean Payton disagrees with where he's going, hey, thanks for being with us, George Peyton.
That's the sign of a stable ownership group?
That's business, man. That's business at the corporate level.
Yeah, and that's why. What did I tell you, Angel?
No, that your corporate.
What Greg Penner is corporate.
This
whole process is corporate.
It is.
That's not how the NFL works. Yeah. It's the good old boys group, for better or worse. And Greg Penner's not in that group. He's in the corporate group.
I think
Jim Harbaugh said, "What are we doing here?"
Because
we heard this report 4 weeks ago that Harbaugh was like ready to go, and then the Broncos said, "No, we're going to go through our process here." Fine, I'll go back to Michigan.
Okay, so Angel's at a bar way late at night, all right? He's had a couple drinks. He starts looking around, and the first girl that walks up to him is a six. Solid six. Good personality. Solid six walks up to Angel. Is Angel supposed to just take her home the first time? Or do you say, wait, there's a 10 over there, there's a 9, there's a 7. I'm going to go and see this, and then, that six is probably still going to be there when I come back around, right? You go explore your other options. You don't just take home the first girl that walks up to you at the bar. You got to see who else is out there. And that's what the Broncos did with Harbaugh. And he got mad when they turned him down right off the bat and said, no, we're still going through our process.
That's who they wanted, though.
Apparently not.
That's who they wanted.
Later on.
And then they decided.
You can't let your coach hold you hostage to when you get hired.
What is Sean Payton and the Saints doing right now?
The Saints are.
Sean Payton is holding everyone hostage right now.
If the Saints didn't have Payton's contract, he would have been the coach of the Denver Broncos already.
I don't think so. I still don't know that he wants the job. I think now he's gonna do it because there's $25, $26 million on the table.
Did you not see that orange tie he had on Fox?
Hmm.
It's happening.
Listen, it might happen.
It's going to.
All right, we got text coming. Drew Brees isn't generational? Like, hand over face. He is generational.
I do want to take that one back because Drew Brees is my boy.
Yeah, Drew Brees is my boy. I'm not even a big Drew Brees fan.
Listen, I got caught up just trying to argue with Brady. All right, so that one's on me. Hand up on that.
So Sean Payton, congratulations, you did it with a generational quarterback.
But he helped make Drew Brees a generational quarterback.
He was pretty good with the Chargers.
Man, not generational.
He was on his way.
No, he wasn't.
Tom Brady is only tier one right now because he is grandfathered into that tier.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't matter. He's still there.
But yeah, you're using that to argue your point because he'd be one shorter if he didn't have Brady on
that
list.
He's still
tier one. And you forgot Rodgers if you're going to grandfather
people. Oh, yeah. What? I'm at 10 now or 11.
Yeah, but you also have Kirk Cousins on that list.
Tier one?
No.
You don't think every playoff quarterback this year should be at least close to tier one?
Look at Miami.
Are you putting Skylar Thompson in tier one?
Look at Miami.
Miami's so relevant, I forgot they're in the playoffs.
Right.
even if Tua was healthy, still not a tier one quarterback.
Leave it to Angel to bring us together. Yeah. Stupid Dolphins.
Is Fangio going there?
Is it official?
Because
it is.
Mike Kliss said that
clunky.
Kliss said that he talked to Fangio and it wasn't happening.
So from Barry Jackson, who is probably the most insider for Miami reporters, had said that Fangio has agreed to the terms and has basically everything told them yes. Rumors are speculating that he wants to see what the 49ers are going to offer him. The Dolphins are set to make him the highest paid coordinator. So if the Niners match it or better it, it could change.
Hmm.
But as of right now, it's with Miami.
God, wouldn't you love to have him back in Denver, though? I mean, just...
Well, now this I kind of miss him because he doesn't believe in science and stuff. Texter from the 970. Is there a pathway for the Broncos to get rid of Russell Wilson after next year? It doesn't work out. John texting and John Sears. There is a pathway after next year. It's still going to be a huge hit for you. It's going to you be in the negative. It's going to be a bad thing. But there is a pathway this year. There's no question. There's no way.
Maybe I'm taking the Rockies approach here, but I think Russell Wilson gets it right next year. To not to a generational quarterback.
You
not
Russell
to tier
Wilson,
one.
Yeah, now you love Russell Wilson.
Not to tier one.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Tier two quarterback Russell Wilson.
John says, if you're going to talk about tier one quarterbacks, you must also talk about offensive line play. John Sears.
If we talk about tier one offensive linemen, we'll talk about offensive line play.
He said, Chris, Herbert needs to be in a better system. He is tier one. He needs offensive line in the draft picks. With the draft picks, who will be the coach to decide? Oh, for
Wait,
Denver?
So now quarterbacks need a team around them to succeed?
That's what is frustrating because
Rodgers was pretty bad this year, but his like
you could give the best quarterback the worst offensive line,
but Rodgers
that's not true.
But
no,
Rodgers was bad this year, or the team was bad, but you're still saying Rodgers is a tier one,
right? Well, and for almost Rodgers' entire career, the team was horrible around him, and he went and did it. You look at even not the first run that the Patriots went on, but you look at throughout the course of their dynasty, their second dynasty.
The
Patriots?
Oh.
Throughout their, I mean, their team around them wasn't great.
Yeah,
I mean, Randy Moss?
I still have to ask you the question. You know, with the Patriots, again, it's the coach or the quarterback. Bill Belichick is losing this battle to Tom Brady big time right now.
Okay.
How much of that was the consistent defense for the Patriots?
But Brady did go to Tampa Bay and win a Super Bowl.
Because why? They had a great defense set up, and then
looking at those two teams, and there's one common denominator, and it's Tom Brady.
Everybody on, and where are the Bucs now?
They made it to the playoffs.
At 7-9, the Patriots had a better record.
They won their division.
What was their record?
Patriots?
The
Bucs were bad.
Yeah, 7-9. Yeah. The Patriots had a better record.
They made it to the playoffs, though.
Than Tampa Bay. So you can't, I don't think it's a landslide because you had everybody.
You got a Super Bowl.
You had everybody who was worth a damn who had a free agent contract goes, ha ha, I'm going to Tampa Bay.
The power of Tom Brady.
There's no income tax.
The power of
Tom
Brady.
Brady's there.
The power of Tom Brady. And that is better than the power of Bill Belichick.
No, it's not. No, not long term. No.
So if let's put them both in their prime, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick.
Who am I picking to start a team with?
Just you get a pick. Your first pick. Oh my gosh, you are out of your mind. Angel, come on. Who you picking? Bill Belichick or Tom Brady in their prime?
In their prime?
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends. Like
Tommy Bones!
Like, I've seen Tom do it with a bunch of no names, and I've seen him do it with good names.
Right!
He did it with a bunch
of
no names.
Do it with nobody, and I've seen him do it with a lot of people.
But he's always had Tom Brady.
No, not always.
Except for the 11-5 year that they missed the playoffs.
And who did he do that with?
Matt Cassel.
Yeah. Where's he at?
I don't think he's in the league anymore.
Right. That system that Bill Belichick does have in New England
is
unrivaled.
If it's unrivaled.
Because of the division that they're in, man.
Six teams rivaled him.
It's because they're in that division right now.
Seven teams rivaled him.
Because they're in that division that they're in right now. Buffalo is just a juggernaut. But the system that Belichick has, with the lack of players that he has, you got to respect.
All right, we got to take a break. 11:42 the time. No, it's Tom Brady over Bill Belichick any day of the week.
False.
Let's get to the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I just decided to keep Tanner in here for this hour.
I think that was a mutual agreement.
No, I made the decision, and then Angel seconded it.
No, I think Angel would have kicked
Angel's
me out.
Angel's mad at you because you hate Tua and you hate the Dolphins.
I don't hate.
And I even said, I said during the break that I would support the Dolphins. I'm mad at him.
The Dolphins, before I knew you and your Dolphins fanism, I thought that the Dolphins were just a stupid organization. I thought they were just there.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, they were
that's
just
what
there. They're the Jaguars.
I'll give you this. The Dolphins are irrelevant. The Broncos are so irrelevant, but relevantly bad.
Yes. Correct.
I would rather be irrelevant right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Than the laughing stock. Yeah. So it's not really a knock on you, on your organization. It's just you're irrelevant right now. I'd rather be that than the laughing stock of the NFL, which is where the Broncos are right now. And I know that's harsh, but it's true.
But that is almost just Florida sports. Because it's like one of those states where, like, even when the Heat were winning all those championships and stuff like that, if you look at the attendance numbers, it still isn't that incredible because it's a great place to you know, have your retirement home. Like, it's not like known. If you think of Florida, you don't think.
I do.
I don't.
I think of everything.
Well, that's because you're a sports. Yeah.
I think of everything.
Sports guy.
People are like, you want to go to Florida? I'm like, it's hot and sweaty. My butt will stick to the seat. Also, I'm not interested in any of those teams. Oh, Tom Brady's there, though. Let's go to Tampa Bay.
That's pretty much where the free agency period was when he went there.
I would go there.
No. I think there's just specific states that are like that. Like, California. Like, the 49ers have a great following. But it's like, California.
Miami
like,
had a good, the Heat had a good following.
Yeah, once LeBron got there. But
Wade and Shaq, they won a title.
Well, when they're up, it's easy. But like when they're not up, the attendance
is just
that's
how
like,
it is with a lot of people. Yeah. You saw that finally with the Broncos this year.
The attendance was, like,
the attendance
I guess the
started
attendance
to get bad
down,
toward the end.
But the ticket sales didn't. And that's what matters.
He said, Chris, you sound like the old Irv and Joe show. I love it.
I think that was a show down in Denver in the 80s.
Hulligan. Bill is a better cheater than Tom, so I go Bill Belichick. Did I already read that?
You read this off air.
Oh.
Give me Bill.
You are wrong about everything.
No,
that was
and
a text
I would
that just
say
came in.
That you might be wrong about everything.
The idea of Sean Payton, I'm not that big of a Sean Payton guy.
Well, can we just call it how it is? The fact that I'm all in on Sean Payton makes you want it to not happen.
No, I was never in on Sean Payton.
I was January 6th. I came on your show, and I had just said this, and I remember the date. I sat
well,
there.
January 6th is a pretty memorable
that's
date.
That's true. I'm going to throw a wrinkle in that. That morning, I was talking about it, and I kind of sat on there and said, I guess, you know, I'm officially going to say this. I think Sean Payton's going to be the next head coach. And then you brought me on, and you're like, no way, you suck at everything you do.
That's exactly how I did the show. Angel, ask them which team went undefeated, a feat that will never be broken.
Which team went undefeated, a feat that will never be broken?
It happened before.
72 Dolphins, but that was before your Alabama guy was there. So
right.
You weren't a Dolphins fan.
True.
So does Alabama get credit for the Dolphins undefeated season?
Kind of in a weird way.
If you want to track that to Nick Saban going there and then leaving after saying he wasn't going to leave, and then he went to Alabama
there's
and started
history.
A dynasty. So
Alabama
you can make connections.
Alabama fans are creepy, man.
Creepy.
They're creepy.
We're about to have the greatest Alabama defensive back to ever play on the air in the next
hour.
We've
got a Bama
that's
guy
true.
Coming up. Angel,
I said fans.
Cool.
I said fans.
Fans are the team.
Fans. That is not
true. We all bleed crimson and white.
See, that's why they're weird.
We have red blood cells and white blood cells.
Stuff like that is why Alabama fans are creepy.
This is amazing. I love fans.
It's a little weird.
No, I wish we had more of that in Denver, to be honest with you. I wish we had more fans like Bama fans in the state of Colorado. I do. I want crazy fans. I want it. I want CSU to have crazy fans. I want more Cowboys going to those games. Yeah. The Cowboys have outlaw Cowboys or whatever.
Right.
I want that. I want the Nuggets to wear matching shirts when they're in the state in the arena. You know, I want orange
in the playoffs,
Sunday.
Yeah.
I want more than four Rockies people.
No, right.
More than four Rockies fans. You and your mom and dad and your brother.
The attendance is great at Rockies.
Because you can go there and eat hot dogs and get a suntan.
Yeah.
Half the people in the stands at Coors Field are laying out like this on their back so they can get tan.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a baseball game? Who knew? It's been 5 hours.
It's true.
Dick Montfort says they're going to be 500.
Stay away from my team.
Dick Montfort says they're going to be 500. Nothing gets you salivating for baseball like that.
I like the comment. To be honest, I like the comment.
Oh,
do
I
do you have
too,
another
man.
Break that you have to take?
Or? Yeah, we got
to
take a break here. We'll talk about Dick Montfort coming up. He says 500. Man, I'm pumped. I am jacked.
Let me tell you why you're wrong.
We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Tanner Schwint for jumping in. This Broncos search is stressing us all out, I think. It's time to see some resolution here. And Tanner and I got to arguing. I thought, man, let's rock it here in this hour. It was fun.
Well, I appreciate it. You're wrong, but yeah, no, it's great. Sean Payton will be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. And Dick Montfort, I actually prefer him saying we're going to play 500 baseball other than we're going to win 97 billion
games.
Okay,
was it last year he said they're going to win 94?
2 years ago, I think.
So they're going to win 94.
Don't lie.
Now he's not even overly optimistic.
No, he needs a new PR guy.
So when he says they win 94... They won, what, 60-some?
Yeah.
So he's saying 500 now. We thinking like 20 wins this year? he said, Chris, Montfort is using reverse psychology. He's pumping up the players with billboard material.
See?
However, Rockies are still the cheapest seat in Denver pro teams.
See?
Well, yeah. You can get a free hot dog there, too.
It's
go for the hot dog.
To tell you how, you know, gambling-wise, how my year in review went, my most gambled-on team was the Colorado Rockies, and that tells you why I'm down substantial amounts of money on my FanDuel.
Boy, the Rockies, huh?
Yeah. I bet baseball more than I bet any other sport.
Well, that's the only way it makes it interesting.
Yeah. You're going to sit here and disagree? I'm not like a baseball fan that's like, it's the most entertaining, electrifying thing.
It's a magical sport.
No. It's either your thing or it's not.
I don't hate baseball. I like great pitchers. I don't care about home runs and all that stuff. I just like great pitchers.
Yeah.
You give me a great pitcher, I'll watch that.
Can I fire the Rockies bus back up for this year?
Nope. Okay. 11:57 the time. Steve Smiley is joining us. Coming up next, the UNC head men's basketball coach. So we'll be right back. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.